Oh, the ground crew got to watch one of the greatest dogfights in history right there over their own field at 200 feet. And we won. I mean, they got a bunch of Germans, and fires were everywhere. And they all saw it, and they were cheering like a bunch of cheerleaders. So that's the 352nd. That's why guys like Tony Beechler paint their airplanes like this, because they want to recognize what our veterans did. And now I'd like to introduce my honored guest again, Jerry Yellen. Jerry was a P-51 pilot in World War II. And you can tell by this 20th Air Force patch on his shoulder here that he was in the Pacific. And to my knowledge, we've never interviewed a P-51 pilot from the Pacific up here. And it's a different perspective out there, folks. I've flown over the Pacific many times, and there's a lot of water out there. And here he is in a single-engine, piston-engine fighter. And, man, I want to hear that from you this morning. What's that like to fly over that much water for many, many hours? And I want to know how you navigated and all those details. But anyway, Jerry landed in Iwo Jima on March 7th of 1945. And he flew 19, what they call VLR, very long-range missions, to Japan in the Mustang. He and his wife, Helene, they've only been married 61 years as of the Google I looked at last night to get my notes. 61 years of marriage, and they have 4 sons, 6 grandkids, 3 in America, and 3, guess where? In Japan. He's a member of the Military Writers Society of America and is the author of, number 1, Of War and Weddings, number 2, The Blackened Canteen, number 3, The Letter, and his most recent book, I believe, is Healing the Hidden Wounds of War. And he's going to talk about the details of that in a minute. May I present Mr. Jerry Yellen.
Thank you, Dan. A lot of people don't know that we had a war over Japan. The war in Europe is pretty well known. Just a little background about me. I was born in 1924, February 15, 1924. And in 1929, the Depression came along, and I lived through the Depression. And I had a scholarship to go to college when I graduated from Hillside High School in New Jersey in 1941, but no money to pay for books or housing, so I took a job in Crucible Steel, making 37-millimeter shot for bundles for Britain. This was long before we went to war. And then on December 7th, I decided that I wanted to become a fighter pilot, and on my 18th birthday, February 15th, 1941, I signed papers, had my mother and father reluctantly sign papers, and I became an aviation cadet in waiting. I had 3 months of training in the military procedures in Fort Dix. I went to Nashville, Tennessee for classification, where you learned whether you could fly or be a bombardier or be a navigator. And I soloed on February 22nd, 1 week into my 19th year in a Stearman at Thunderbird Field in Maricopa County near Phoenix. And there were 68,000 people who lived in Maricopa County. Now there's 3.2 million people living there. When I did my cross country in that Stearman, I landed at the crossroads of Mesa, Tempe, and Chandler, which were just bare property. There was nothing there. And I graduated from Luke Field in August of 1943 with 10 hours in a P-40 and was sent to Hawaii to get 50 hours, and I joined the 78th Fighter Squadron, and then never left that 78th Fighter Squadron. I was there for the entire time with them.
When did you go to Iwo Jima?
March 7th. Well, we, in December of 1944, we flew our squadron, flew our P-51s to Ford Island. We watched as they were put on board below decks and on the deck of a Jeep carrier, aircraft carrier called the Sitka Bay. And about 4 or 5 days at sea, we were called to a briefing. We were shown a relief map of an 8-square-mile island called Iwo Jima. Iwo Jima was necessary for fighters and for a place for the B-29s who began bombing Japan in November of 1944 from the islands of Saipan, Guam, and Tinian. Those missions with the B-29s were 16 hours, 14 to 16 hours up and back. The casualty rate was about 40%. So on February 19th, 67,000 American Marines invaded the island of Iwo Jima, where there were 23,000 Japanese defenders, 90,000 soldiers fighting on 8 square miles of land, and 28,000 of them were killed. We landed on March 7th. The smell of death, the sights of bodies all over, and the sounds of war are with me still to this day. For 1 month, March 7th, March 8th, until April 7th, 1945, we strafed for the Marines until they took the island, which was a 39-day battle for them. On April 7th, 16 of us in the 78th Fighter Squadron escorted B-29s when they dropped their bombs on Tokyo. On the way up, we flew on the wing of a B-29. We had no navigation abilities whatsoever. What we did have was a U and a D, an Uncle Dog. For those who don't know about it, but we used to navigate over land flying a beam. You had an A quadrant, a Dada, an N quadrant, Daded, an A quadrant, Dada, and an N quadrant, Daded. And when those Morse codes, Dada, Daded, came together, you got a solid sound. Well, U in the Morse code is Dida-da, and D is Da-da-dit. And so the B-29s broadcast what we called Uncle Dog out of the back of a B-29. We could pick it up for about 30 miles. And that's how we navigated. If we couldn't literally see the B-29, we navigated on Uncle Dog. And we had to focus our gun cameras on the tip of a cloud or on the tip of a mountain so that when we evaluated our gun camera film, every time we pulled that machine gun, shot our six machine guns, we were taking pictures in color. So I focused on April 7th, I focused my gun camera at 21 years old on the tip of Mount Fuji, which is the icon signature of the nation of Japan. And I said to myself, what the heck am I doing here? Well, I knew what I was doing there. And I watched a square of fire being made on Tokyo, and then 140 B-29s came in, no targets, they just dropped their bombs inside the square of fire, and little fires became big fires. I was at 22,000 feet. The smoke and the debris came up. Not once did it ever occur to me that there were human beings on the ground. These were our enemy, genuine enemy, and I was happy, thrilled to be a part of the destruction of that land. That was the first mission. Our CO, Jim Tapp, shot down four Japanese Zeros on that day. And then on April 12, 1945, on the second mission, he shot down his fifth and became the very first ace in the war over Japan. The missions were 8 hours long. We could fly up 3.5 hours, 3 hours, depending upon the winds, on two external tanks, drop our tanks, fight until we had 90 gallons of fuel left. The first guy that had 90 gallons in any squadron called in, and that was the signal for the squadron to head out to sea to pick up the B-29 that would navigate us back to Japan. I did that 19 times. I flew the first mission, April 7th, 17 missions in between. I flew with 16 guys who didn't come back. You know, what can I say? The pure purpose of my war, the pure purpose of all war, the pure purpose of a warrior is to learn how to kill. And that's what we do in war. We kill our enemy. And that's what I did. And that's what our guys did. And that's what we were trained to do.
And you did a wonderful job, too. And we want to thank you for that, because if it wasn't for you guys that fought in World War II, we might be speaking German or eating sushi right now. But anyway. Well, you answered my main question about how did you navigate. But another question I had, Jerry, was what about air sea rescue? How did they arrange that?
Well, we called everything air sea rescue dumbos. For the first 200 miles on our way up to Japan, we had PBYs, Army Rescue and Navy Rescue aircraft. And then we had B-17s radio ships on a couple of hundred miles that could direct us to the destroyers that went up for about 200 miles. And then they had submarines in and around Japan. Most of them surfaced when we were over Japan, and they were used extensively. Lots and lots of guys bailed out, were picked up by submarines, had to spend a cruise with a submarine. That's not much fun. I went down in Pearl Harbor. I went down in a submarine and dock, and I got claustrophobia before I got out of off the steps. And spending 3 or 4 weeks on a submarine couldn't have been much fun.
No, I wouldn't imagine it is. Well,